Today is the 23rd of Tammuz, Tavshanayin Dalet, 21st of July. This is our third shiur in Sefer Tehillim, and today I'd like to study Perek Ches, the 8th chapter of Tehillim. Unfortunately, events in Eretz Yisrael make our recitation and focus on Tehillim all that more emphasized and serious, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu should send Yeshuas and protect soldiers and the people of Eretz Yisrael, and our tefillah should be answered.
Amen.
And I think the more that we study and understand the depth, the degree that it's possible for us to really begin, we're not going to fully understand the depth, but to see some of the depth of the words of Tehillim, that will make us have that much more ha'aracha, that much more value and appreciation for what it is that we say. So in our last two classes, we studied the first chapter and the 19th chapter. And the truth is, the 8th, the one I'd like to do today, combines elements of both. That's what made me think of doing this one now. In fact, I think some of what I'll comment on, I mentioned in passing in our previous classes. As I've mentioned in the past, I enjoy working from the Malbim's commentary. Rav Meir Leibish Ben Yechiel Michel, a great Malbim, who, if I'm not mistaken, passed away in 1878. By the way, did you know that he was briefly supposed to be the chief rabbi of New York? They were going to bring him over, but he didn't live long enough. But he was a great, great luminary, one of those souls that was sent to the world to illuminate things that otherwise we might not have appreciated. Through this, the 19th century had many, I should say numerous, great commentators on Tanakh that really, where Rishonim only spoke cryptically, they would unpack it and show us the full spectrum of what was going on. So I'd like to work from the Malbim's commentary, although here a lot of what he's doing is similar to what the earlier sources did, but it's much more elaborated upon. In fact, if you had a Tehillim with the Malbim's commentary, you would see that for a chapter that has only, 10 psukim? Yeah, there's a lot of, I'm looking at pages of commentary here, because the Malbim presents to us that this chapter has a very, very deep concept behind it. So, Perek Ches of Tehillim. L'natzeach al hagitis mizmor l'david. I don't want to harp, that's a Tehillim pun, I don't want to harp on that opening pasuk for too much, but Lamnatzeach is a word that you have in many, many chapters. It can either mean to the one who is singing or to the one who conducts. The word Linatzeach means to be victorious. So some commentators say that when they were singing, just like two people singing, each one tries to out-sing the other, so they were like competitive. So it's a word used to mean singers or conductor, or it can mean like the word lanetzach, for eternity. It has some possible other meanings. Al hagitis can either mean it was meant to be put to music on an instrument that came from the city of Gass, or it was sung by people from Gass. It's not clear exactly what al hagitis means. A lot of mepharshim say it's an instrument. Mizmar l'David. I'm sorry.
Could the conductor mean
for
Hashem is the conductor?
It can mean that also. But when the commentators say it, they mean, because these were musical. David HaMelech's Tehillim was to music. So a lot of chapters begin to the conductor. But again, it can also mean to the victorious one or to eternity, which has more to do with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And then Mizmor LeDavid, as I think I said last time or the time before, I believe Rav Hirsch is the one who says that when you see LeDavid Mizmor, it means David himself was reflecting and he came to song. Mizmor LeDavid means he started the music and the music inspired him to come to himself, to come to his thoughts. So sometimes it's Mizmor LeDavid and sometimes it's LeDavid Mizmor. I think we have that in our lives too. Sometimes it's Avram sings, and sometimes it's sing and then come back to myself. It goes sometimes in opposite order. So here we go. Pasuk Beis, which you'll see is really, it's the beginning and the end. Pasuk Beis is also Pasuk Yud. Hashem, that's Havaya, that's the name Yudke Vavke, Adonainu, our master, Mo'adir Shimcha B'chol Ha'aretz, how mighty is your name on the whole earth, Asher Tuna Hodcha Al Hashemayim. Tuna is a strange usage, the commentators address it, but we'll take it to mean that it puts your, let's say, glory on the heavens, that your name puts the glory on the heavens. The Malbim says as follows, that this chapter is meant to address and respond to a claim of many thinkers who are in denial of God, or denial of God's involvement in the world. And where they were coming from is, look at how vast the world is, and look at how small we are, and it's not possible that we're of such significance. There's actually a fascinating article. There's a publication called Challenge, which had different essays on Torah and science, and Torah and modernity, and all the challenges there. And actually, Rabbi Norman Lam wrote a fascinating article about the space age. And he wrote about how many scientists, when people were very excited about now we're discovering the magnitude of space, and he was commenting how so many scientists had strayed from science, from empirical observations, to philosophizing about conclusions from this. So, look, we don't matter. Now it's clear, look, we, you know, man used to look up and say, wow, there must be thousands of miles up there. Now you realize it's so much bigger, and it's so vast, and the whole planet Earth is a speck of dust, and how could we, little human beings on this little planet, in this little corner of the universe, be of any significance? So he quoted, like, one after another scientists who were making this claim, and he has some line there, like, never have so many been so excited about being so little, or something like something. I didn't do it justice, but like everybody's excited about saying we don't matter, and which was what he was responding to, which he was saying the Torah is not that way. When we talk about belief in creation, as important is the belief that there's a God who made the world, is also the fact that he puts man at the center of the world, that man matters. That's what this whole chapter is going to be about, that man is put at the end, the whole world is set up for him, and man is meant to have a relationship with Hashem, and man's relationship with God is at the center of the universe. And it's no doubt meant to be a nisayon. It's meant to be a challenge. Man can very easily convince himself otherwise when you start thinking about how small we are and how vast everything else is. And it's easy to come up with a philosophy that we do not matter. How could Hashem really cares if I made a bari me name is Onos, but you know, like in the vastness of the universe, that matters.
That's existentialism.
Right. That's what he's addressing. In fact, I'm not going to read through it, but he makes reference to the Milky Way, he has here, and what's happening in this chapter according to the Malbim is David HaMelech is. In order to respond to something, you have to first present the best argument that it makes. You know, to pretend there's no argument to be made, then you didn't really address it. In this chapter, in fact, where the Malbim is unique is that he takes two psukim that others understood it as if David HaMelech speaking, and he says, no, it's David HaMelech speaking in the voice of those who would challenge our belief. And then in the next pasuk, he responds to it. But what the vastness of the universe made some people conclude, or led some people to want to conclude, is that we don't matter. And the Malbim quotes here that the Maran Avuchim and other Svarim address this. So he says, what David HaMelech is taking on is, we have a pasuk in the beginning of creation, that when Hashem hung all the celestial bodies, meaning everything that's out there, Vayitein osam elokim barakiyah hashemayim l'ha'ir al ha'aretz, to give light or to shine forth, or however you translate it, but on earth, meaning that earth is the center. I'm not talking spatial, I'm just talking in terms of
focus.
Yeah, the focus of the universe. That is as important in our belief system as it is that God made the world. There are people who believe that God made the world but didn't believe there was any point to it, that man had any role in it. Everybody always quotes from Tzadok HaKohen of Lublin, the great Hasidic Rebbe. He has a line in Tzidkas HaTzadik, Vayaminu ba'Hashem uvamosha avdo. Pasuk we say every day in davening. They believe in Hashem and in Moshe, his servant. As important it is to believe in God, is it to believe that man is his agent, is his servant? If a person believes in God but doesn't believe that man has any role, so then what I do doesn't matter. So, Hashem of Moshe Abdo. Now, there's Moshe Abdo being emblematic of everyone. Of every person has a role in the universe. So, the Malbim writes at some great length. I'm looking at his introduction here about how we don't accept that belief that the universe is so large that therefore we don't matter. Much to the contrary, man is at the center of it. Man's behavior determines how the rest of the world will function. That's the foundation of reward and punishment, blessing and curse, so many things that are axiomatic in the Torah. But then he says, Omnam Eich Yitzhak calls it. I'm just reading part of the Malbim's introduction here to you. But how could all this be true? Es yamdu lefanenu mose ha-philosophim v'tanosem. When it stands before us, the proofs, the arguments that the philosophers make, al zeh bo ha-meshore b'mizmar hazeh, that's what the songs to the David HaMelech in this song, v'orach negdom ha-roch ha-philosophis. And he's setting up, in contrast to them, against them, a philosophical system, u'bitel tanoseim b'dvorim ru'uyim el ha-eloki hazeh. In words that are fit for a godly one like David HaMelech. Meaning it's a beautiful presentation. And he ends off by saying, by the way, this chapter is so important because it's so fundamental in our belief. So I'm not going to read word for word, but I'll try to paraphrase as accurately as I can what he's presenting. So, Hashem Adonainu Mo Adir Shimcha B'chol Ha'aretz. Hashem, our master, how mighty is your name. God himself is unknowable. He's inscrutable. A name means when you're able to actually call something. We refer to Hashem in different names. That's where man is able to interact with God. God himself is infinite. A finite being cannot connect to the infinite, but we do connect to the way he presents himself, kevayochel, to us, what he presents to us. So when we call a name, name connotes what we can relate to. So mo'adir shimcha, B'chol Ha'aretz, your name, where God is manifest, really, is B'chol Ha'aretz, is on earth. And only from there, Asher T'na Hodcha Al HaShemayim, that your name on earth thereby reflects it, its light, its glory, to the heavens. Not the other way around. David HaMelech is starting off by saying, it's not that, wow, there's so much vast space and earth is a tiny little dot that doesn't matter too much. To the contrary, the glory of God is here, is on earth. And from there, meaning from man, meaning from what man sees on earth, then it reflects to the rest of the universe. That's Asher T'na Hodcha Al HaShemayim. First, B'chol Ha'aretz, and then Al HaShemayim. And the Malbim explains this as follows. I got it really to do it full justice. This would cover the rest of our classes at least. But again, I'll read a little bit. Ki hafilosofim asher gozru omer ki hashamayim v'asher bahem heim ne'elim yosem min ha'aretz v'asher aleha. Those thinkers who believe that the heavens and all that's up there, that's loftier than what's on earth, earth and all that's on it. They're not looking at things with a full perspective. They're looking at material without looking at the full makeup of things. And he's a little bit poetic. He says, their question, their claim is not wise. And he presents as follows. He says, whenever you look at the craft, the handiwork of someone, it's not just the material. It's the design. And he says, in fact, to the contrary, when something is small, but there were so many inventions and so many steps and so many discoveries that went into it, and yet it's tiny. It was just over at the building that we're purchasing. There's a jukebox.
Good.
There's a jukebox. We got it plugged in and turned it on. And I said, well, we'll bring the, they want to sell it. I said, we'll bring the boys down. I'll say, this is the first iPod. So it's a huge, and you put in the records and but so what's more impressive? Yeah, if you look at all the, someone's had these scientific or historical presentations. First, there was the, a computer from 1970, and it's larger than this room, and it does what a calculator today can do. So large things, but then when you get it smaller and smaller, and you see all of that wisdom, all of that discovery. I'm using human terms now. But then you have it in something, like this, everything that it took to get there, it's actually more impressive when it's small. So looking at things just by their size is not an accurate way to analyze things. Rak, I'm again skipping around the Malbim to give you a little bit of a taste of the way he presents. Rak lefi ribui hachochma v'hamtzas asher himtzi hachochem hazeh. Rather, you look at the abundant chachma and the inventions that the Chacham invented, ad shehotzius mivukash, until he came up with what he wanted, the final product. V'chol shehitzdarach l'chukim rabim v'ribui chachmos v'yedios v'amtzos, and all that you needed to discover more principles and more rules and more chachma and more discoveries. Asher kulam hiskabtu b'hotzos hakeli, and they were all needed for that one item that he finally patented. Kain tisbar hamalacha b'yeser se'ez, that makes that new invention much more impressive. V'adarabah, to the contrary, tis'ala yoser m'ribu yamtos e'la nikbetsu b'klikotan dak hamalacha. He says it's more impressive if it's small. If there's so much that goes into it and it's tiny, and there's a reason why he's presenting it this way, that's going to lead into the next pasuk, that makes it more impressive. And he uses the example of a watch. We could use a microchip, we could probably use many things today. But so much that goes into it, but it's so small that makes it more impressive. And he says, I'm not such a scientist. I have to go back to high school, but therefore I'm not going to go through everything he says. But he says, that there are principles of gravity, the force of pull to a larger body that are making the systems that work in the orbits and the celestial bodies. It's very vast, but there isn't as much that goes into, let's say, what's the other planets or celestial bodies. He says, but then you take a look at planet Earth, you look at one blade of grass, and then he goes on to the animal kingdom. He says, this is very common in Svarim. They talk about the eye. Now, the human eye and animal, look at all the optical science that goes, he uses the word optic, by the way, that goes into how the eye functions. Look at all that that we have, in small space. Nobody can deny that the great chachma and that. So it's not about size. It's about design. And then he goes from the eye, he talks about man. V'ad kama his alsa ha-chachma v'ha-pliya v'yatziris ha-adam. Look at man, asher melvad ki bo his kabtu kol chukei ha-chachma. By the way, this is not haphazard. There's a reason why he's following this order. That him come together, his kabtu kol chukei ha-chachma ha-mafuzarim b'chol ma'isiv reishis. All of the different elements of creation come together in man. The Malbim says it, but it really has many earlier sources that when it says in the Torah, na'aseh adam, let us make man. Rashi teaches us a basic teaching that even though God doesn't have to ask permission, it's humble to ask permission from your underlings. That's one teaching why it says, let us make man. But the Kabbalistic sources say, na'aseh adam means that everything in the universe went into man. That's why he can relate to every form of chachma, because everything that's out there goes into the human being. So that's what he's alluding to here. That's why things we learn from the animal kingdom, things we are. Man has it all within himself. And that's only the physical makeup of man, and then his soul, a nefesh achyunus, and then the ability to speak. Man is called a medaber. We talk of four types of things that exist in the world. Domim, tomea, chaya, medaber, inanimate, vegetative, animal, alive, and then medaber, one who can speak. Man is described as the one who can speak. Hakesha haniflabo kasha shnei alamos gashmi v'sichli, the wonder of being able to make a creature who ties together the physical and the spiritual, intellectual. That's the brach we say every day. Mafli lasos is considered a pella. Man is so wondrous, and yet at the same time, chalush. He starts off weak, v'chasar koach, katon v'dal mitzad chamro, so physically weak. This is all leading to the next pasuk. The pasuk gimel is, mipi olalim v'yonkim yisadita oz. Olal and yonek, it means a baby. Yonek means a baby that nurses. From little babies, yisadita oz, you established oz, which means might, but the might of God. Because again, you're looking at a tiny, helpless creature. That's why there's this great wonder when people look at a tiny baby, because they see that everything that's in there, all of the stuff that's pre-programmed in this tiny little baby, it makes it more wondrous. The fact that he's so small doesn't make it less wondrous, it makes it more wondrous. You look at it, you study the development of a baby, all that's pre-programmed in cells, in such small creature. Malay plios nisgavos mitzad dakus malachta b'chol every limb, and they start off so small, and there's so much chachma there, and how they all function together. I'll read a little bit from what he writes. Ad shekol maskil es yosim dvarim ha'ele alivo. So any person of sechel who will take these things to heart, im hamishara haloki yikra lemer, he would be forced to call out with David Hamelach, Hashem Adonenu, Hashem our Master, Shimcha Amor al Chachmasu, Minifla Osechu, Adir Ach Ba'aretz. The place where you see God's wisdom is on earth. Just look at a baby, and you see that it starts here. That's where the great light of Hashem's greatness is showered down on man. That's Mipi Olim V'yonkim Yisada Ta'oz. You established your might, your greatness. It can be seen in babies, and it's Mipi. In the mouth of, because the ability to speak, to communicate, to articulate thoughts, and such variegated thoughts, that's the highest, that's the climax of the wisdom of man. And we look at a baby who looks so helpless, but we know it's all pre-programmed in there. It's all in there. That's why it's from the mouth of them. L'man tzarecha l'hashbis oyev misnaken. That was put there for your enemies. To l'hashbis is like the word Shabbos, to put an end to stop. The first kinnah, we say Tisha B'Av morning. Actually, skip it. But the first kinnah in the kinnah's book on Tisha B'Av morning starts with the word Shavas. It came to a stop. Everything came to a stop. So we think of Shabbos in the positive sense. All the busyness and the stress of the work week. But Shavas really just can mean to put an end to. So Lahashbis means to put a rest to. And here we're talking about putting a rest to Oyevu Misnakim, the enemy and the one who's vengeful. It's not only the Malbim here, it's the other commentators too. They said that means the heretic, the one who would deny God. Because you can understand where they're coming from. Look how vast the universe is. We don't matter. Existential. Look, there are other ways of looking at it. But then you look at a baby. No, it's all here. You look at a tiny human being and you say, this is the center of the universe. So it silences the enemy. Here we're not talking about it. Sometimes David HaMelech speaks about physical enemies, those who are attacking. Here he's talking about the intellectual enemy. I'll be honest, I don't understand the use of the word misnakem so much, but it's not a question on the Malbim. It's the way I think just about all of the commentators take it. That usually means one who would take revenge. I'm not sure why, if we're talking about the intellectual enemy of the recognition of God, we'd talk about somebody being vengeful so much, but that's...
This is the Avenger. That's my translation.
The Avenger, yeah. I think the way that Mefarshim explained it is that the person who doesn't want to accept that belief fights the one who does, and it ends up being a clash. But it's an interesting usage, but that's the way it's understood. Certainly the chapter is talking about the greatness of Hashem, talking about babies making us aware of that, and then all of a sudden we're talking about the enemy, so it has to be understood as the intellectual enemy. So now, Pasuk Dalet, Ki Ere Shamecha. Well, let me just introduce. Frequently, about once a chapter, the Malbim takes Psukim in a very different direction from other commentators. It's always fascinating. I think the Malbim is unique here, that he takes Pasuk Dalet and Hey. These are not statements of David HaMelech. These are David HaMelech speaking in the voice of the opposition. He's first presenting what they would say, and then Pasuk Vav is going to answer back. So, which is a good way to debate. First, understand the opposition's best arguments. Not a straw man, but what they're really saying. Build up the best arguments in opposition, and then respond, and that's the greatest way to prove one's point.
Excuse me. Since his lifetime, his main opposition was Nimrod Shaul. Was that who we think
the Yetzer Hara
was his main opposition? Not here. No, there are many chapters where he's alluding to or explicitly referring to Shaul of Shalom, problems he had in his own life. But David HaMelech was such a broad kaddish. We learn from Tehillim other things that we don't have in Sefer Shmuel, things that happened to him. He refers to people who testified falsely against him. But he was also responding. His main yearning in life was Avodas Hashem, was the service of God. Here he's talking about people who would deny the existence of God, would deny the importance of the service of God. So he's not talking about Shaul. By the way, you remind me. I can, this may be nepotism, but I can cite someone from the family. Dini's great-great-great-great-great-grandfather was the author of a sefer called Shemen Lamor, which is a huge commentary on Tehillim. And what he did in that commentary was to show how the whole Tehillim is actually chronological. When you study it from the vantage point of David HaMelech, here you have a chapter where he's talking about when Avshalom is chasing him. Here you have a chapter where he talks about events earlier in his life. It seems all out of order. The thesis of that statement, of that sefer, is that yes, in David HaMelech's life, it seems out of order, but in the life of Klal Yisrael, it's actually chronological. And invoking a phenomenal knowledge of Midrashim, he shows how each chapter is actually talking about something in the development of the Jewish people, and it's 100% chronological. If the whole Sefer is based on that approach. That's the Sefer Shemen Lamor, the Furter Rav's grandfather, a great Sefer. He was very close with the Avnei Nezer, and the Avnei Nezer approved that approach to Tehillim, so that's another level of interpretation. But in any event, so ki pasuk dalet in parakhes ki era shamecha maasei etzbaosecha yareach v'chachov masher kananta. When I see your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars that you set up, says the Malbim. These are the claims that people will make. Ki era shamecha. The Malbim says something fascinating that I never thought of. He says the word shamayim comes from the word sham, yonder. Sham means there. Darton, far away. Shamayim is like a plural of there, far away, yonder, yonder. Why? Because what's the heaven? It's way far away. That's why we use heaven as a mashal for something that's so far away. It's as distant from earth to heaven, right? Heaven is symbolizes being far away. So when I see your heavens, with the emphasis being on the fact that shamecha means shamayim, it's far away. So that is the concept of vastness. Ma'asei etzba'osecha, the work of your fingers. The difference between, we sometimes refer to ma'asei yad, handiwork, and ma'asei etzba'osecha, is that when it's with the fingers, it means it's so precise and so well designed. I picture a surgeon who has he has the resident do the basic part, but then the very difficult part of the surgery, he has to go in. That's ma'asei etzba'os. He has to go in and do it. It's very precise. So says the Malbim, what they're saying is, look at space. That's where Hashem's real artwork is. It's out there. It's Saturn. It's who knows what. That's where the Maaseh Etzba'os. Other thing, maybe Earth is Maaseh Yad. It's your work, but it's just because your company name is on it. But you could have sent out some employee. But the Maaseh, you want to see where his real craft is? That's Kiara Shemecha. That's Maaseh Etzba'osecha. That's where God's real artwork is. That human beings, don't be too haughty. You're just amoebas. The real stuff is out there. Therefore, we don't matter. It's all that same approach. And Yareach v'kochavim asher konanta. Konan has the meaning of having a base, having a stand, something that's lasting. So Yareach v'kochavim asher konanta, moon and stars that you established. Here's another philosophical claim. human beings. You think you're of significance? We're just a species. Person's born, lives some years, has a child, someone else lives, he dies, the next one lives, dies. What lasts? What matters in God's world? Yireach, the kochavim, the moon is always there. People come and go. We're just a species. In fact, I use the same terminology in the chapter we learned last time or the time before that. There's ish and there's min. And we talk about things that exist as a min, as a species. There's grass. Nobody's interested in a particular blade of grass. Yeah, that's where it was. It was in the first chapter, the tree versus the grass. The tree lasts somewhat. So here's it's that same claim. The moon and the stars, those things last forever, but people come and go. So which one do you think is important? How do you like that claim? That's also, right? So we're building up the argument here. So three things. Look how vast it is. That's Ki Era Shemecha. Look at the design in it. That's where that must be what God is really, what the Creator is really interested in. And look what lasts, not people. It's the planets. Those are the things that last. People come and go, but the moon is there. And therefore, Pasuk Hey, Ma Enosh Kisiz Kerenu. What is man that you should remember him or mention him? Uven Odom Kisif Kedenu. Son of man, that you should, again, to be poked can mean to remember, it can mean to give somebody a job, a pekida is an appointment. Poked is a fascinating word because it's used in the Torah to mean so many different things, but actually we see how they're all related. The word beged and peked are related. Similar consonants are interchangeable. That's where Hirsch's principle that he uses throughout Chumash, but it's really from Chazal. So pei and beis are interchangeable, and gimel and kuf are interchangeable. The dalet is the same. The word that means garment and the word that means to give someone a job or a position are the same word. It's an investiture. What do you do when you put someone in uniform? Now he's got the job. So what is man that he should be given some important assignment, that he should be given a uniform in the service? Who is he? So the Malbim explains very specifically the word enosh, which is a word for man, right? Enosh bina, we have it in our davening, but it's related to the word anush. Anush means pathetic. It's also related to the word noosh, where you flip the letters, which means like to give up. Ma enosh, we use the word achola anush, means, God forbid, somebody who's deathly ill, hopelessly ill. So anush means pathetic. Ma enosh, it's a word for man, but it means he's pathetic. Says the Malbim that contrasts to the first phrase in the previous pasuk, Shamecha. Look at him, he's tiny, he takes up a few square feet. What is he? I'm talking about Kiera Shamecha, Sham, vastness, yonder. Ma Enosh, what is tiny little man, pathetic little man? Kisis Kirena, that you should remember him. Uven Adam. Ben Adam. Son of man. What does that have the connotation? He doesn't last. There's man, there's the son of man, then there's the grandson of man, then there's Reuven, then there's Shimon, then there's Levi. It's not the same person. Man thinks he's important. He's not like the Reach and the Kochavim, the moon and the stars that God established, they're there forever. I mean, he's a species. We're a Homo sapien that comes and goes like the grass and like everything else. And the space is where it's at and we don't matter. Okay, that's those two psukim present the opposition. Yeah, actually, I skipped one. Also, in Pasuk Dalet, Masa Etzba Osecha, that he's finely designed. Man is weak. What can he do already? Space has greater wisdom out there than man. Man he can't accomplish too much. He's a weak being. So, according to the Malbim Pasuk Vav, is the response. V'tachasrehu ma'at me'elokim. You reduced him slightly. You reduced him slightly from like the angels. Sometimes Elohim doesn't mean God. It means angels and the like. V'chavod v'hodar ta'atrehu, and you crowned him with kavod and hodar. So here is the concept that I mentioned in one of our previous classes. But here is where the Malbim actually says it. I mentioned at the beginning that man is not an animal who happens to have a soul. He's a soul who happens to have an animal. So the Malbim says like this, they're making a mistake. People who think, look, man is just a creature that lives and dies. He doesn't last, therefore he can't be important. You're looking at the wrong part of man. What is man? We have to do a little bit of exercise in nomenclature here. It's funny, the example he uses, I think the scientific world today wouldn't accept, but he used the example of a whale as the word volfish, the whalefish, in his commentary here. So it's funny, I think a whale is actually considered a mammal in our science, right? But what he's trying to say is, look, everybody sees that a whale is a fish. It's an aquatic creature. But it happens to a nurse or whatever it happens to do. So he says like this, you have a category, and then you have within the category what makes a particular one unique. But the category is going to be broad, general strokes. The uniqueness is going to be one thing that stands out. You don't take a detail and from that say that defines the category, and then something that's very broad and say that's what makes him unique. So to summarize it and cut to the chase, he says, man has a soul that lives forever. Man has a soul that lives on. And that's eternal. And he has a physical side that has a short stay. Which one would you look at as the category? And which one would you look at as a footnote, as a detail? He says, therefore, it's a mistake to define man by the smaller part, quote unquote, of him. And so that's what he really is. Oh yeah, he happens to have an eternal soul, but really he's an animal like a squirrel. But he happens to have an eternal soul. He's backwards. It's a backward way of looking at things. You have to. Man is really like Elohim. Not, I don't mean God, but like the angels, like the higher creatures. Uniquely, Hashem, in order to make him a Baal Bechira, in order to make all the things that make man unique in terms of that he has challenges and therefore he earns his Olam Haba and all the other things we've spoken about, so Hashem connects him to an animal existence also. But that's not his definition. That's, he's an angel that happens to have a body and not the other way around. So that's Vatchasreyu Ma'at Me'Elohim. He's really Elohim, that God made him reduced him a little bit and gave him that challenge. That's why we have this recurring tension that you see in all the Midrashim where the angels don't understand man, right? When Moshe Rabbeinu goes up to get the Torah and the angels say, why is there a man born of woman up here? Why is there a human being up here? And the Moshe Rabbeinu has to give a yachol, wrestle for the Torah because the angels see that we have a lower side to us. And they can't understand why Hashem would give the Torah to such a being. But the answer is it's exactly because man has that challenge that he can earn the right. But that's the way to look at it. I really oversimplified. If you have a chance, it's worthwhile reading the way the Malbim presents his insight. I summarized it, but just to use some of his phrases. Gufo hagashmi hurak mikrilo lo atzmuso. Man's physical side is incidental to him, but it's not his atzmus, his etzem, his very essence. Ki ha'atzmis hu hasug, v'hamikra hu hamavdil. Those are the words where the Malbim tells us how you should categorize things. What's essential is the real category. What category is man in? Angel. Mikra hu hamavdil. What's incidental? Oh, but by the way, he's a little different. You know, he's a different flipper. You know, like one thing that's different, that doesn't change the whole category. So he says, "Hine l'fi hageder shehinichu heim," the way the others categorize men, "Iker geder ha'adam v'ibadlo hamiyuchad b'mashu balmaila." What doesn't define his category, but what makes him unique within his category is the fact that he's great. Which it's all backwards. The whole thing is that's his category. Okay. And again, I don't know if he spells it out so clearly, but obviously what he means by that is, therefore, to say that man is fleeting and ephemeral is because you're defining man wrong. You're looking at his physical side, but that's not really his essence. And therefore, Pasuk Zion, also a beautiful Pasuk, Tam Shilehu b'ma'aseh yodecha. So when you study Malbim, you have to look at two commentaries, the long commentary, but also the Be'er Hamilos, where he just defines words. It's a short commentary I have up here on the side. He writes here, Kavanaso Tu'umis. Its meaning is twin, right? Tu'umim are twins. This has a twin meaning. This word has a double, it's a double entendre. The simple pshat, Tamshilei, is you gave him Memshala, a Moshel is a ruler. You made him rule over everything else you created. Man has the wisdom and the ability to harness all of the everything that's in the world. But in his long commentary, he actually focuses on the other meaning. What else? What other word do we see in Tamshilehu? Mashal. Mashal is an analogy. Man is the analogy, or maybe better translation would be microcosm, of all of your handiwork. There's a teaching, I don't know the earliest source of it, I have a feeling it's in the Zohar HaKadosh, but it's quoted in so many sermons that man is described as an olam katan. Man is a mini universe. Man is the entire world in microcosm. And that's why we say if you save a human being, it's like saving the whole world, but it's much deeper than that. I'll read a little bit from the Malbim. Hine tzuras ha'adam, hi tzuras ha'olam b'chol. The form of man is the form of the world at large. Ad shekol ha'chukim ha'neflaim ha'netzayim b'chol ma'aseh breishes kulam nikbetzu bo ba'adam. All, everything in the universe comes together in man. That's why he's in Olam Katan. Says the Malbim, that's what the pasuk means. Tamshilehu b'ma'aseh yadecha. True, it means you gave man dominion. You gave him the power to rule over. He can take everything in the universe and he's on top of it. He has the intelligence to do that. But it also means he is the mushal. You made him the mushal, the analogy, the microcosm of everything else that you created. Yeah, I maybe should have introduced this. Before starting Pasuk Vav, the Malbim says what David HaMelech seeks to do now is show that you have to look at man in four perspectives, which are Chomer, Tzura, Poel, and Tachlis. I'm packing in a lot here. I'm sorry.
Chomer, Tzura.
Huh? It could be. It could be. Those are generally the different ways of analyzing. So I'll repeat them and I'll try to define them. It's a little tricky the way he's using them here. Chomer, which means material. Tzura usually means form, but here I would say it means more like a craft. Then Poel usually means like how he functions. And Tachlis. Tachlis means the end goal, means what the point is. You know, once we see how he applies them, you'll see what he means. But we're already actually in the middle of it. First of all, man's chomer, his very material, is great because, as we just said, if we're talking about man as material, if you're just talking about his physical side, he's not that great. Tiger's stronger, bird fly. You know, other things do things better. But the point is, that's all not man. That's the footnote of man. That's the real man is that he's Elohim. He's like the angels. That's the chomer. In the tzura, the Malbim says in the words. Kavod v'ha'adar tatrei, the end of Pasuk Vav. I'm sorry, I'm jumping back a little bit, but he was responding to that. And the way the Malbim puts it is as follows. You can have an artisan, somebody who does makes some kind of artwork. There's two ways you could have it. His Malbim is very good at making his own mashalim. You can have somebody who takes a very expensive material. He takes gold and he carves it into something. Wonderful, it's very valuable. But the truth is, if it's gold to begin with, it doesn't really matter what he made it in, right? There's a lot of jewelry that they just take and they melt it back down because it wasn't the way it was engraved or carved. It's the material that's really valuable. Very nice, he made a flower, but you can make it into something else. But then if you have artwork where somebody takes something that's really inexpensive, almost worthless material, and he makes a great work of, you know, sometimes you see, they took soda cans and they made, and now it's selling for $10 million. Yeah. So there, it's all the art. It's not the material.
A soda out of Legos.
Right, yeah, right. Do you take things, right.
Or sculpture.
Right, I mean, sculptures are like that. Ice, yeah, there, it's all the art. Special. The whole thing is the design. It's not the material. So, he says, man's nefesh, which by the way is called kavod, in Tehillim. L'man yizamer chavod v'lo yidom, which means, the word means honor, but it refers to the soul. My soul should sing to you and not be silent. Chapter 30. L'man yizamer chavod v'lo yidom. There are else, other places too. Kavod is a code word for one soul in places in Tehillim, maybe elsewhere in Nach also, I'm not sure. So kavod, the soul in and of itself, it's gold. Man's physical body is Adam and Ha'adama.
It's dirt.
It's dirt. Whatever, you know, whatever we refer to it. It's there. It's all the design that makes it great. The neshama is lofty per se. The material is great. In man's physical side, it's the design he put into it. He sculpted something beautiful in simple material. So that's kavod is the soul of hadar tatra, you adorned him. That is addressing tzura, man in his form. The next one is the way man functions. Man function, this is Pasuk Zayin, he functions as a mashal, a microcosm of the whole world. Man is a functioning micro, he's a mini universe. Every human being, think about what man can do. He can contemplate and understand. And you know, we see great geniuses, whether it be in the sciences or Alhamdulillah, and tell people who unlock such depth. And if they had never done that, that potential would have been within them, but it was never, it's all there within man. All the potential is there within a human being. He's a mini universe. He has to unlock that universe, but it's there. Yeah.
Is there a difference between nefesh and neshama?
There is. How much Kabbalah are we allowed to talk about?
A lot. Plenty.
Generally speaking, there's Chaya and Yechida, which are two things that are higher than there's Nefesh, Ruach, and Neshama. There's a mushal, it's just a way of thinking of it, but of a glass blower who's blowing through a tube into a receptacle. So Neshama is Neshima, is breath. That's the part that's in the blower, that's like in one's mouth. Ruach is in the tube, in the conduit between blower and receiver, and nefesh is what's in the receptacle. And the levels of our neshama, obviously this is just a physical mush of something that's not physical, but neshama is the part that's, quote, kivayachal, so to speak, closer to God. Ruach is like the connector, and nefesh is what's received. You'll see in Kabbalah from an abbreviation, I know you will, you won't, but nun resh nun, nefesh, ruach, neshama, that's what they're referring to. It's like three levels of the soul. I can't explain more than that because I don't know more than that. I'm not sure I even know that.
Nefesh is more the body part.
More. Right, nefesh is what more towards here. Ruach is the connector, and neshama is there. Whatever exactly that means. And there's two levels. There's two levels on top.
You can't access at
right,
all.
Right,
and the
right.
Next one,
stop. I see you're well.
You can access this on Yom Kippur.
Okay, if you have questions, here's the address. Okay, I'm sticking to easy things like. Okay. And then kol shata tachas raglav, you placed everything under his feet, which we'll see is a lead into the next two psukim, which are the final concept. I just want to mention, we make a bracha she'asa li kol tzarki in the tefillas hashachar, which nowadays we say all those brachas together, but the Gemara says they used to say them as they experienced each thing. A person woke up and opened his eyes, he said, Bokeach Ivrim. He realized he wasn't paralyzed, he was able to sit up. He said, Matir Asurim, I'm not bound. I'm not. Then he was able to stand up. He said, Zokif Kfufim, and so on and so forth. So She'asali Kol Tzarki was when he would put on his sandals, his shoes. She'asali Kol Tzarki. So at one level, it's because if a person doesn't have shoes, he can't go out, he can't navigate the terrain. But there are svarim that say that shoes, commonly, traditionally, were leather. Leather is coming from animals, which is the highest form of life, short of man. And kol shato tachas ragel, he puts it under his feet. What gives man the right to take animal? Because man is supposed to be higher than that. There's actually a Gemara that says, Ama aretz aser lechol basar, a person who chooses the path of ignorance shouldn't eat meat. The simple chazah means because there's so many laws involved in making meat kosher, slaughter and salting. But the mafarshim who say if he doesn't make himself superior to animal, then he shouldn't be acting superior to animal. So symbolically, the idea of putting something leather under one's feet, on one's feet, meant that man is supposed to be the top of the totem pole. I believe the Shlach HaKadosh explains this pasuk is behind that bracha, kol shata tachas ragla. But the Malbim here also, now he's addressing the final point, which is tachlis, which is you have to look at creation as heading toward a goal. Tachlis means an end point. The word kola means when you come to the end. Creation heads toward, it leads toward man. Man is the crown at the end. So pasuk ches, tzone va'alofim kulam, which means like sheep and livestock, all of them, or animals, all of them. Right? You have some of this aleph means shigar alefecha v'ashteres tzonecha. But aleph can also mean animals. V'gam bahamos sadai. Sadai here is like a poetic use, but it means sada. And also the animals of the field, meaning the wild animals. Pasuk tes, tzipor shamayim, the birds of the heaven, udzge hayam, and the fish of the sea. Over Orchos Yamim. Pasuk is cryptic, but it says that he would go in the paths in the seas. It says the Malbim, what this is doing is showing how everything that's closer to man in creation is closer to him in usefulness, and its use for him. Tzone va'alofim kulam, the more domesticated animals, he can use all of them. V'gam b'hamos sadai, and also, but less so, he has usage for the wild. Okay, the animals that are tame, man uses more, he eats, he raises. Animals that are wild, man has less, fewer people have pet tigers, right?
And parrots, and they're nice pets. Really. Okay. They become.
I know. I'm being careful here. Right. That's as a pet, but I don't know if there would be use.
And companionship.
Right.
Like,
but for the most part, the birds are wild. Tzipor shamayim d'geyam. And now we're going backwards in creation. The closer we are to man, the more useful. And by the way, I haven't seen it in a while, but if you look at the Malbim's understanding of the story with the Nachash in Bereishis, he understood that the Nachash, if I recall correctly, was originally created as the most domestic, the highest animal, so much, right? The Nachash in that story originally is speaking. It was the highest animal just short of man. Then when he sinned, so he was relegated to a creepy crawly. But there the Malbim talks about the same concept, that the animals that were most developed and latest in creation, they were the ones that were most useful to man. But what all of this points to is that, look, all of creation is heading toward man. It's all a buildup. When you go backwards, you get further away from man. Then there's the birds of heaven and the fish of the sea. But in order for man, this is the way he reads it. Again, the pasuk is cryptic regardless, but this is how the Malbim understands it. Over Orchos Yamim, in order to get those things, he has to go out into the sea. It's not easy. You have to get a boat, and those are further away. The things that are closer to him were created closer to him also, because it clearly indicating that this is all a setup for man. So that's the final point, that if you look at creation in terms of tachlis, you see that man is the tachlis. He's the focal point, and all of this leads to Hashem Adonenu Ma'adir Shimcha V'chol Aretz. Hashem, our master, how mighty is your name on the earth. This is the focal point. It's not the heavens. True, there's a lot of space, but if anything, that's like all of the inventions that led to the small device you hold in your hand, which is the crowning, the crown jewel of it all. It all comes back here. That's what you see when you look at a baby. That's me, Piolo and Biyonkim. It's all focused back here. It says the Malbim, this is the response. This is the response to the so many who are so excited to be so little. Yeah.
Can all of creation also be the goal towards the coming of Mashiach?
Well, that's man bringing what he's supposed to do. We haven't been focusing on, therefore, what is man supposed to do? But that's all with man at the focal point. These philosophies that don't see man as important, they They don't. There's no concept of a Mashiach. It's like that. That's all when you understand that man is in the center. Yeah, absolutely. Okay.